Amen. This is the third message in our series titled, If Any Man Be Ignorant, Things We Shouldn't Be Ignorant Of. And I'm going to be turning 69 years old in July, okay? And I keep learning new names that people have for me. I just, Tuesday morning I was at a pastor's conference with pastors preaching to other pastors, and I came in quiet. I wasn't supposed to be preaching. I'm going to take notes and stuff like that. And I got referred to three times. Pastor Shrek. I've been called Papa Shrek by some of my children and grandchildren. And then I've also, Pastor Goliath. And the guy looks at me, he's never, he tells me, don't worry, I left all the stones home, you know, one of those things. And I'm going, come on now, you know, it comes down. I tell you all the time, I put my socks and shoes on the same way you do. I throw them in the air and jump into them, okay? So I'm not that different. And there's a testimony of our church that we're different, amen? And it's a good testimony, and I like that. That's one thing I heard from Nadine. She came here to help out of her brother and sister-in-law with health issues and was here a few months and went going to go back home and can't go back to the church she was going to. She goes, I used to be one and it was really dead, and this other one, everything's based off emotions and not on God's word. And so she's looking for help with that. So would you pray we can able, we're getting her address, where she lives out there, and we're going to try to find her a home church, a Bible-believing church that she can, she says, I'm willing to drive. If I have to drive some distance, she says, because I can listen to you guys, but it's not the same as being there and sitting there. So if you could pray for her in that. Again, that's Nadine Tortua. All right. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, so far we've looked at we shouldn't be ignorant of the need to be soul winners. And last week it was we shouldn't be ignorant of the mystery of God's dealing with Israel, one of the seven mysteries. And I found it was interesting when I preached that. Like I said, my wife, they were doing a Bible, they did a ladies' Bible study where they were, you know, with some of the with some of the less than young women in the church. Is that okay? Less than young. Okay. They had met together, a few of them, and they were looking at the seven mysteries and looking at a video by Dr. Ruckman on it and then talking about it. And then, so we're looking at, there is verses in your scriptures that tell you not to be ignorant of different things. People go, what should I know? Well, God's not trying to hide something from you, amen? Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read, okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted after. So we're being told, moreover, brethren, we should not be ignorant. And then he gives you an example of the children of Israel. Okay, now look at verse 6 again. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000, 3 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for what? Examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Things we should not be ignorant of. We shouldn't be ignorant of examples. Of examples. You know, we live in a day and age, and I know that's been true to some extent all through the history of man, but we live in a day and age where people spend more time excusing their sin. Okay? You know, Christians call that a stubborn habit, or the world calls it an addiction. You know, I said, I have an addiction. I'm sick. I have an addiction. I can't control it. You know what addiction is? It's a sinful act that when continued in becomes something that takes us captive. That's what an addiction is. Okay, the only people who are born addicts and it's not their fault are babies. When their mother didn't care enough to stop what she was doing, and they ended up with addiction to heroin at birth. Fetal alcohol syndrome and other issues. Okay, so there is innocence, but generally it's because of the choice of sin. Okay, you know, and I know and I understand that certain behavior becomes debilitating. You know, I'm not trying to condemn people. I want you to understand, the job of your pastors, Pastor Kinney and I, of any pastor, our vocation is to instruct the brethren. Amen. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the what? Edifying of the body of Christ. That's what you're here for. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and hope I'm not making you turn to more Bible than you've read this week by yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You need to understand. It says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." And I'm not talking being gentle like a mom is gentle. That's not how men are gentle. Okay. Mom goes, "Oh, you poor baby. You cut yourself. Let mommy take care of it. Now put the bandage on it." And the dad says, "Here, rub dirt in it." And that's about as gentle as he gets, all right? So there's a difference there. You want feminine men? Don't rub dirt in it. You want chapter and verse? Can't give it to you. I'm just having fun, okay? "But the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them" what? "Repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth." See, they have to hear what? Truth. "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him." Captive by who? The devil, at his will. He wants you captive. He wants you bound. He wants you sick. He wants you broken. He wants you bitter. He wants you angry. He wants you captive to his will. He wants you to be caught in your pride. That's what he wants. But the job of the pastor, the job of the servant of the Lord, is to help them in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. So I want you to know, we're just trying to fulfill that. And I want you to be honest with you. You need to know, if we're honest with ourselves, even secular knowledge, secular medicine, supports the truth of what happens in so many people's lives. Statistically, children of alcoholics have a 4 times greater risk of becoming alcoholics themselves. That bears through also with drug addiction. Okay? without an intervention, basically mainly from God, they repeat. They repeat. Okay, and that's, you can Google it. Look it up in secular medicine, statistics of dealing with different illnesses. And I took some of this. I was looking at something today. It's from a Dr. Michael Wendell, PhD, of Alcohol Health and Research World. And he says, parental problem drinking can adversely affect adolescent development and adjustment by interfering with parental skills in marital relations. How you raise the children and they see your issues. How they see interaction in a marriage. I tell people all the time with premarital counseling, if you do not choose to do it God's way, you will repeat the home you were raised in. Whether that's good things or bad things, you'll repeat it without thinking. There's time, my son, Michael, sitting right out there, he turned around, he goes, I don't want to do this as my dad does. And then as he got older, you know what he says? Dad, you know, I used to get upset when you got angry about this. Now, you know what I'm doing with my boys? Oh, and I'm going, don't do it. I prayed, wanted you to be better than me. Okay? It turns around and goes and says, parenting skills and marital relations. It can also lead parents to model ineffective coping strategies and other problem behaviors. What do they deal with under stress? And what do? So you know what ends up happening? Drug use. Someone in alcohol, their kid doesn't end up always becoming an alcoholic, but they get involved in what the world calls addictive behaviors. Okay? Other types of drug use and psychological problems. You want to have fun study? Look at the family background of every shooter. All right? Guns don't kill people. People kill people. I'm going to get off that hobby horse. Okay. Now, adolescence. That's every one of you young men who are nothing but hormones on legs, and girls who want to be the boss. Little girls learn to try to tell the little boys what to do because they're just trying to help them. Am I telling you something that you have not observed? Okay? So, adolescence. Many biological, psychological, and social changes characterize this phase of their lifespan. And it's commonly called in certain circles a lifespan of storm and stress. I think that's a good description of the teenage years. Parents are either good or negative role models, and they're also restrictors of or enablers of selfish, Adamic nature. Little Johnny or little Susie, and I'm sorry any Johnnies or Susies, are not little angels, okay? Because they've learned from you. My kids learn from me. And I want them to learn to do differently than me in many things in my life. Amen? You admit that? Okay. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. You know why I say Adamic nature? You have to teach a child to do what? Do you have to teach him to do wrong? Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above what? And what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So with this in mind, we're going to look at examples we are not to be ignorant of. You need to understand how it works. Go to Exodus chapter 34. We'll try to get this going here. Exodus 34. I've made reference to this in different times and messages. God is appearing unto Moses on the mount the second time because the children of Israel rose up to eat and drink and to play. And I won't describe what happened and what Moses came down and saw when he came off the mountain with the first set of the Ten Commandments. But when Moses went up a second time and he's standing there and he's told of God, "You can't see me, but I'll let you see my hinder parts as I pass by. Because no man has seen God at any time, lest the Son declare him." And he also, God said, "If you see me, you're going to die." In verse 6, it says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed." And this is what I want you to understand. Don't blame God for what you do. Don't blame God for what has happened to you. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon who? And upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. If you don't break that chain, it continues on. Okay? So we should not be ignorant of examples. The first one, I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse, he says, "For moreover, brethren, I would not ye should be ignorant of how that all our fathers," he's referring to the Israelites, "they passed under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They were baptized by aspersion." Okay, they went through a cloud. It's one of the baptisms in the scriptures. "They all did drink of the same spiritual drink," that, you know, "from the rock," and he tells you, "but then with many God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now these were our what? Examples. We shouldn't be ignorant of examples, to the intent that we should lust after evil things as they also lusted. So we should learn from the people of the Bible. Point one. Seek ye out the book of the Lord, the law, and read. Okay? You shouldn't be ignorant of them. Now, I was talking to Pastor Kenny as I was writing this, and I mentioned one, and we're going to go look at Josiah quickly. Okay? But you also see the same thing happening with Hezekiah. Okay? So I want you to turn. We're only going to go to Josiah tonight for the sake of time. I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 21. Chapter 21. Starting at, let me see here, verse 16. Watch the generations here. "Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he hath filled," see, he's the king of Judah, "filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah?" So we could go to Chronicles, but I'm not doing that tonight. "And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house." See, he wasn't buried with the kings because he was so sinful. "He was buried in the garden of his own house in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. And Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Haruz of Jotbah. And he did that which was what? In the sight of the Lord, as who? His father Manasseh did." What was his example? "And he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him, and slew the king in his own house. And the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah," this is Ammon's son, "king in his stead. Now the rest of the acts of Amon, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And he was buried in the sepulcher in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son reigned in his stead. Generation, generation, now. Let's look at Josiah, verse 1 of chapter 22. Now Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adaiah of Boscoth. And he did that which was what? Right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father. Now that doesn't mean he had two fathers. It's talking about his lineage, okay? But he followed David, not his father and his grandfather. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left, because narrow is the way leadeth to everlasting life. Okay. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah the son of Meshullam the scribe to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it unto the hand of the doers of the work that have oversight over the house of the Lord. He wants the temple repaired, okay? And let them give it to the doers of the work that is in the house of the Lord, and to repair the breaches of the house, unto the carpenters, the builders. And he goes on, he talks about that. And as they're going, the temple is in ruins, it's in rubble, and as they're going to do it, Hilkiah, okay, in verse 8, the high priest said unto Shaphan, to the scribe, and see what wasn't with the kings before him? Watch. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again, said, the servants have gathered the money. Tells him they gathered everything up for the oversight of the house. And Shaphan, verse 10, the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has delivered me a book. So it wasn't something that, and the kings were supposed to study God's word. They were supposed to rule by God's word. But their sinful habits took them away from that. And it went from one generation to the next generation. Now you got this. He brings the book and he said, delivered me a book, and it came to pass in verse 11, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he what? And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahiakim the son of Shaphan and Achor the son of Micahiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asheriah the servant of the king, saying, go ye and inquire of the Lord for me, for the people in all Judah, concerning the words of what? This book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that was written concerning us. So they went, and they did that, and they did different things. In verse 14, you went to a prophetess there in verse 14, and she said unto them, verse 15, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah read. If you understood what he was reading, because you had the two mounts when Israel was becoming a nation, and a law was given to them, and they read blessings on one hillside and cursings on the other. If you do this, blessing. If you don't do this, cursing. Did they stop being God's people? No. But whom the Lord loveth, he... So judgment was coming, according to all the words of the book. Because they have forsaken, verse 17, and have burned incense unto the other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say of him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thy heart was what? And thou hast what? Humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Because therefore will I gather thee unto thy fathers, And thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave. And where? How? In peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil that I bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. The king, the leader of the people that Judah was following, repented humbly before God when he saw God's word. And you know what it did? It delayed the promised judgment of God, because God is not a man that he could lie. But it delayed that judgment because he changed and came back to God instead of following the example of his grandfather and his father. Don't be ignorant of the examples in Scripture. I say all the time to people, they say, Christians, I've messed up so much. I know I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Christ as my Savior, but God can't bless me. I've just let too much come into my life, preacher. You know what I've said? While there's life, while there's breath, there's hope. I've watched people who've claimed Christ, who pulled away from the Lord, turn back. And it didn't happen until their kids were almost adults. And when they turned back, those kids still saw the example and it transformed in their lives. I've done marriages for children of people whose life changed. It's never too old to get it right. Amen? But it must be done according to God's word with humility of heart. You know, my Bible says, I don't care if you got saved at 5, you got saved at 50, you get saved at 100. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are, present tense, become continuing new. You know what Josiah did? You'll find the same thing with Daniel, who was considered one of the most righteous men in all the Old Testament. They confessed the sins of their fathers, confessed their own sins, sought forgiveness with humility. And you know what God does? He forgives. Don't be ignorant of the Scripture's examples for us. Now, second point, God's admonition to Paul. That was Old Testament. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to try to finish this quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons to warn you. Okay, and he had to deal with sin in the Corinthian church. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel, wherefore I beseech you, be ye what? Followers of who? Of me. For this cause I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. So he's saying, look at my ways. My ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I would come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not of the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? Okay, now go back to our text. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You still with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Now these things were written for our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it was written, for the people sat down. He gives you the example back through them. Neither murmur ye. That's a Baptist pastime. Neither murmur ye, as some of them who also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them as what? Examples, that they are written for our what? Admonition, It's to admonish us, to beseech us, to get us to look at. Admonish upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Look at the beginning of the very next chapter as he deals with that. What does that say? Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. What's the Apostle Paul's testimony before Christ? A religious zealot who went around causing people to be murdered. That's what he did. That's the Apostle Paul. You know, and what do? We talk about Muslims. What do? Religious zeal that causes people to be murdered. You know what they need? Jesus Christ. We have a missionary who reads the letter, starting to have an outreach to Muslims. Do you pray for that? Be ye followers of me also, as I also am of Christ. And say, finish up. What is our responsibility as examples? Redeeming hope. Point five, our choices influence those around us. Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. How many times do we think or hear someone say, it's my life, why should anyone else care? The choices we make, good or bad, always affect more than yourself. For those that love you, to watch you bring harm to yourself through your choices brings harm to them. Financial, emotional, physical, and spiritual harm comes from the sinful choices that we make. The blessings of making godly choices also aren't exclusive, but will also help those around you. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans. Chapter 14, verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. For whether we live, therefore, or we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a what? Stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. An admonition to the believer to learn from our examples in scriptures. You got examples in your life. To not be the stumbling block to cause someone else to stumble at their sin. You got it? Question. Who's following your example? Who's following your example? You know, I don't care how old the kids are. Big brother is an example to little brother to little sister all the way down the line. Okay? And big brother's example was daddy and mommy. So, who's following your example? What example is it? And are you willing to change that example? It's never too late or wrong to follow God and do right. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And all God's people said, Amen. Good night and God bless.